I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL podcast. My name is Heath, and what we're doing now is doing our North Melbourne 2020 season preview. But before we get into 2020 for them, we'll have a quick look back at what happened in 2019. So starting off, finished 12th on 10 wins. Josh, they're your team. Pass or fail, you think, on the whole?
Well, that's a season of two halves, really. On the whole, I'd say it's a pass, mainly because they got a lot of games into a lot of young players, and they managed to get those young players involved. I think it was four rising star noms.
Something like that. It was,
with Larky, Zerha, Scott, and...
Thomas.
Yep. And that's about as good as you can expect for the season. Well, having them not injured would be fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got a young team, the rising star nods are there for something. None of them really, I think, were in the line for the award, but we had such a runaway winner anyway. But that's not the point. Four is a lot.
Oh, I reckon Zerha was ripped off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw it as it's kind of unders, but there was hope in the second half of the year. And certainly a lot of rallying around Megamind once he stepped into the big chair. But let's look at the highs for North on 2019. So where did you see the highs for the club?
Well, for my money, it was, I think, did you come with me to the Collingwood game?
I don't think I did.
I remember going to that and thinking, oh, fuck, we get pumped here. And it was just a fucking walkover.
Yeah, just put a big hurting on them.
They got up and just never ever looked back.
Round was Collingwood?
It was round 15.
Round 15, yep.
Yeah.
So this was one of Shaw's first games then, wasn't it?
Yeah, gave an absolute shellacking, and there was winners all over the board. And I was speechless at it. I thought, How the fuck did that happen?
You appreciate those wins more when you're at the ground too.
Yeah. Oh, shit, yeah. Especially because it was fucking quiet. And I stayed till the end and I just walked straight out, got in the car, got home. I was home with the replay still on telly.
To be fair, that's pretty usual for a North Melbourne game, but not for a Collingwood one.
Yeah, not not that.
What was their win-loss again?
10 wins.
Yeah. And looking over Josh's shoulder at the results, they had some close ones that would have changed it, but they had some that were fucking blowouts on the other way.
Well, the other big blowout was the Port match.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think you can roll the when we're talking about the highs of the year, the Port game and Benny Brown into one.
Yeah.
Because Benny to put on 10 in that day. Yeah. And to be fair, it was a little bit of a parade at times.
Yeah.
I think, did he kick 10 goals straight from 10 kicks?
Just about. We were at that game too, and geez, they didn't seem to be hunting for him as much as they could have.
No.
But like, he just seemed to be everywhere.
He had a quiet game. Let's be honest. Besides kicking 10 goals, he did nothing. And I know how stupid that sounds, but he kicked 10 goals.
Yeah. Yep.
Besides that, he didn't do anything else. It's a bit like saying Steve Smith did nothing but score centuries. Well, okay. Yep.
But in fairness, you should feel a bit ripped off as Nick Larky. Like a first-year player kicks five, which is a pretty fucking decent effort. And nothing.
Below the fold when it comes to best players. if you got the game up there,
yep.
How many kicks did Ben Brown have in his 10 goals?
He had 14 disposals.
So there you go. You kicked 10 goals, one?
10-1, yeah.
Yeah, so 11 shots a goal out of his 40 disposals.
Yeah.
So he's hogging it.
Disposal efficiency of 92. So he was looking after his stats.
I mean, and Port was still in finals contention at this stage as well. Even though North, I think, were a mathematical chance, they were not really in contention. But Port were playing for something. So it wasn't like, you know, you're rolling over Gold Coast at the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah. It was the same deal with Collingwood. Like,
honestly, yeah, yeah, of course.
And, unlike
yeah.
Jeremy Cameron.
Brown second in the Coleman this year. And I think... justifiably robbed of a spot in the All-Australian. I would have had him in there.
I think it was robbed of the Coleman. Just the fact that Melbourne decided to play defence and Gold Coast apparently decided, oh, we'll let this Cameron bloke run wherever the fuck he wants.
Easy money.
Easy, exactly. They had money on him.
Yeah, for sure.
Ben Cunnington, I think, had a great year as well. Mm. Yep. And extremely consistent as well. You know what you're going to get out of him week in, week out.
Well, he was the only bloke that got the best of De Boer. That's because he broke his fucking shoulder. which kind of says something about it. There were some times when Cunnington seemed to get a little irritated. Like, he's generally unreadable. Like, there's no yep. emotion in his face. He's not one of those players that goes around yelling, screaming, or everything.
Dusty Martin-ish.
Yeah, he generally tends to just do his business and get on with it. But when he does get frustrated, geez, the blokes around him fucking watch out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one player that surprised me, and I'm not saying he had a great year, but surprising because I didn't think he was going to have much of a year at all, was right. Jasper Pittard.
As a set of steak knives, he was brilliant.
Coming across the point where it was fucking useless. He actually did some things.
He had one hopeless game, didn't he?
He did.
Was that against Port Adelaide?
I think it was. I think I was in Port Adelaide, actually. Yeah. I think I was at that game.
And I think the Port player, the Port fans were still cheering him.
Yeah.
But
well, they were Bronx cheering him.
Let's set that aside and say otherwise. You know what? He wasn't a liability.
Yeah. No, far from that. I think he was actually better than Pollock for the season.
Oh, value for money, certainly was.
Yeah. But it always takes players a bit of time to settle in. And in a back line that was, well, settled until Magic Door.
Yep.
Had his thing. They probably expected Pittard to play a very different role, and he adapted so well. And it's funny for a bloke who looks like him, he's a lot smarter than I thought he was.
He has to be.
Is he really?
Yeah, well,
he couldn't possibly be dumber than you thought he was.
Didn't even question his dumbness. To be honest, I was like, oh, that's a given.
He's done a fair bit of media, and he's actually pretty switched on. He just does not give a fuck. Because when a lot of players, you know... especially when they're traded and whatnot, there's always the media in their face and everything. But Pollock copped all that in that trade.
Yeah.
And so they said to him, you know, how do you feel about the trade? And he's like, mate, it's just another place to play footy. I love the game. The boys around me don't try and make me get out in front of the cameras.
Yeah, keep it simple.
After watching him at Port Adelaide, it's not surprising at all because he obviously didn't give a fuck.
But I'm actually a massive fan of Pittard. I think for a bloke who was a set of steak knives in that trade...
Yeah.
Very happy to have him in the team.
There you go. So where are the lows then for North last season? Well,
round one has to be the second lowest game.
Yeah. How many points? They let Fremantle kick 140?
141 and lost by 82 points, scoring 59 themselves.
Not a good way to start year. And to be honest, I had that down as the lows as well as 2-7 starting the year. I mean, it puts you behind the eight ball straight away, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, to me, the lowest point of the year was the Good Friday game. Two reasons. One, the result, and second, the crowd. I get people weren't feeling the squad was going where they wanted to go. But if people don't turn up, the squad's going to go to Tasmania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's always been a bit of a problem for North Melbourne the last 10 years.
Oh, longer. Longer than that, yeah.
But they've finally got a marquee game in the Good Friday match. And the North Melbourne club has been trying to get this happening since the 90s. So they absolutely deserve a crack at it. But if people aren't going to turn up and ain't going to stay...
And it's not the club's fault, is what you're trying to say.
No, it's the supporters. And look, I'll turn up. I'll be there in 2020. I hope every North member... You know, you can't make every game.
No.
It's just not doable. But
pencil this one in the calendar.
Yeah. And especially because they're going to be playing pretty exciting footy this year, I reckon.
Yep. You got the Bulldogs again, who had the best out of the... Good Friday games, which I think was the first one, was it?
Yeah.
Might have been the second. Can't remember. Anyway,
it was the first.
It was a great game. I remember that. And there's been some lackluster ones since then. So you need one.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, probably lucky in that one because that was one where Mitch Wallace decided to kick it to us.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
A few years ago now.
But hey, it was exciting. And that I want an exciting match as well, but I'll take a fucking flogging if we get it.
Yeah.
If we win.
we'll take a flogging if we win.
Yeah. The flogging is a good result if we're on the
on the positive side of it.
Just loves the flogging.
I'm with you. Just wants a flog. And you got to talk about Brad Scott as well, obviously, in the lows. This is one of the weirdest sackings of all time, because it felt like such a mutual breakup that calling it a sacking is almost unfair, yet that still is what it is.
Well, yeah, they're obviously still friends.
I think... I don't think Brad Scott is as bad as a lot of the media around him seems to think. I think it's just a matter of he didn't adapt his message in a refreshing way.
Yep.
Because sometimes, like, it's like a fucking burger. He started off with a cheeseburger and then added pickles, added onion, until the fucking thing couldn't be eaten. And I think some of the players were working, do this unless that happens, or check subsection B, mark 4, paragraph 7. It just got too complicated.
Yep.
And then Shaw comes in, he's like, just play fucking footy, lads.
Yeah.
Bet your player. Hit someone, have fun. And, you know, it was chalk and cheese. I think Scott's his new role is equalisation management or some shit.
Oh, it's an absolute nothing role.
Yeah, I think that might be...
AFL House have definitely done North Melbourne a favour there.
Gil McLaughlin saying, how much we want at North? All right, that's what you're on now.
we'll take this one for you. We don't need to put it on the books. I mean, I'm not against it because, you know, okay, it helps the club, you know, a little bit more advantage than other clubs, but you know, they're on their fucking deathbed, or no, that's not true. They've crawled off their deathbed. No need to put them back there.
Yeah, and it keeps Scott off of a talk show panel as well.
Thank God. Yeah. he might still sneak down and coach a few games down at Geelong. You never know.
But I think it is good that they could have that conversation at that time. Yeah. Because when he's first cab off the rank, then all of a sudden all the other clubs have to look at either shoring up who they've got.
Yeah. And they did.
Oh, they did. I mean, Longmire got a big fucking boost.
Didn't he? I do like that North Melbourne weren't pretending either. You know, we might have had a conversation with him. Yeah, pretty much. And Simpson as well. But Longmire's the first coach I can think of that's dropped 10 places on the ladder and got the biggest contract extension of his life.
Yep.
Well done to him.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a win-win. Dirt. Yeah, you have some dirt on them.
Now you've got Glenn Archer apparently went over and had a chat, and you can just imagine turning up like horse, mate, got nothing to say to you, but I'm going to do you a fucking favour right here. I'm sorting you out, lad.
And it worked. And you can't say that North Melbourne certainly don't feel disappointed that they ended up with Reece Shaw. It worked for the second half of the year without a doubt.
Yeah. Well, they had a complete clean out, really, because it's not just Shaw. They got Rawlings in. They got...
list manager, I think.
The new list manager is from Champion Data. I've forgotten his name right now.
Oh, I thought they got Brady Rawlings over.
No, he's general manager. He was list manager at West Coast.
West Coast. Now he's GM of footy or whatever.
And they got Ben Amarfi.
Okay, if you say so.
Who was the CEO of Cricket Australia, I think.
Yes, it sounds right.
Modern president, I can't remember.
Something like that.
And he's CEO of the club.
So some more off-field movements and stuff like that. Yeah.
Off-field recruiting has been spectacular. And, of course, Shaw, who was elevated. And look, despite always the fact he goes through more Alan's lollies than I've seen any human do.
He does all right.
Stuart Dew mixes it up with the occasional thick shake and leg of lamb.
Both of them got nothing on Damien Monkhorst. Don't worry about that. all right, you talk about off-field changes. Let's look at some on-field changes. The ins this year is just Aiden Bonner from the Giants. So, I mean, not much activity there, but, you know, they made big moves the years before, so wasn't much need, really.
Yeah, I think Bonner's more... they didn't pay much for him, and he was... I think pick 11 in 2017.
A few years ago, yeah. But I mean, GWS pick 11, you know, they got hundreds of them.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, it's true.
He just couldn't break in GWS's midfield, which it's because they got 30 midfielders.
Yeah, I mean, I think he played in the grand final. I mean, he was still there, but it does feel like, you know, it's a bit like Jasper Pittard as well. Is that level of player?
Well, look, if he's the caliber of player that we keep in the VFL, we're having a fucking good season.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, yeah, that's a good way of looking at it as
well.
And
I think for too long, North's VFL has been shit. And I don't think you can have success at the top level if your second level team sucks, because
helps.
The players who are coming through don't get used to AFL footy.
Yeah.
As the way the AFL sets up. If you look at the teams that have success, it's like, you know, Richmond, Collingwood, even for a little while, Melbourne were thereabouts, because their lower squad was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're outs. Sam Wright, who I think, again, journeyman is might sound disrespectful, but it's not really.
He had a fair knock.
He had a fair knock, and he did his job, at North.
I've got no problem with Sam Wright. He was good as a negating defender, but he did not have that run they wanted from their defence.
Yeah. Do you remember when you play football and like the person who was the negating defender usually shit at everything else? It's like, you just make sure he doesn't touch the ball.
As a negating defender, I feel attacked.
I had a few negating defenders. I just thought I ignored them for most of it. Horvat, who thank God he's retired, because now commentators don't have to struggle with how to pronounce his fucking name.
Yeah.
I mean, really, his best footy was at the Bulldogs, and he didn't get on the park enough at North, I felt.
Mm, yeah.
Well, I think he got on the park too much, to be honest.
Yeah, really.
I think he's not as good a player as Bonner. In terms
of
caliber,
I still contend that Bonner is spelt with double N.
And the problem is, if he's playing, it means guys like Simpkin or Zerha,
somebody else,
Walker, all those guys aren't, and he's not.
That's
your
not the future.
He's not your next star.
And Scotty Thompson, who has got to be the shortest key backman that we've seen in the last 20 years. The endearing memories will always be him pushing Barry Hall over and getting in a headlock. My favourite part of that is he did not get scared afterwards. He went back for more. that's his nature. You've got to love players like that.
Yeah, but he's not as small as you think. Like, he's 193 centimetres, which is just under 6'4".
Yeah, but I mean,
Hall's bigger.
Like I say, so is everybody else he played on. He never played on a bloke shorter than him.
Yeah.
No. I mean, that's about all you can say about him. He was pretty fucking fearless and wasn't afraid to do the sneaky veteran shit.
His spot in the side was never in contention either. You know what I mean? It was, no, he's in the back line. He'll look after somebody. Away you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's only this season now that I'd say Tarrant's ready for that role. Because whoever comes in next, like, it'll probably be either Walker or...
Oh, I think Tarrant's been good for a couple of years.
I know, he's been brilliant. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I think he's been robbed of all Australian. But playing the general role, as well as playing the accountable player that can run off that he has, is another step of responsibility. And I think this season he had to do it a few times.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Going forward, I think he'll have no problem with it. Yeah. I think he's had enough apprenticeship.
Yep. All right, looking forward to 2020, the double-ups for North. You got the Lions, Bulldogs, Essendon, Hawks, and Carlton. So you'd be happy with the Carlton double-up, although they're probably on the rise.
I'm happy with all of those because that's about where we should be. If we can't match Essendon, Bulldogs are a tough team.
Yeah.
But those guys then got no business playing finals.
Yeah. Brisbane's going to be tough, obviously.
And it should be.
A lot of people expect them to be at the north end. I think the Hawthorn double-up is going to suit them well because they don't play Hawthorn at the MCG. And I've got a feeling if you go past the last 10 years of Hawthorn versus North, I reckon Hawks are just about undefeated at the MCG and North are just about undefeated at Docklands. You go close to it.
Well, I'm pretty sure they play one game in Launceston, won't they?
There is one game in Launceston, so that's why they're not playing in the MCG this year, yeah.
But, I mean, Hawthorn around the same sort of mark. And it's one of those ones where if North can split the difference there and get up some wins otherwise, it could be a 13-14 win season. If they end up getting rolled, then it's going to be a fucking struggle.
Yeah. All right, so who's in for a big year in the blue and white?
The easy money's on Ben Brown because he's had 360 goal seasons in a row.
And Cunnington and Brown are sort of the expectations. Again, you know what you're going to get out of those guys. Brown's going to present well. Cunnington's going to do his hardball gets and his fend offs and his big tackles. It's almost no danger with those two.
Sure. So that's what you have. Like your baseline is that, and then you look at who you add on top to to really put some put some pressure.
Well, my big season expectation is Cam Zerha.
Yep.
Just it's so rare to find a small forward who just fucking loves hurting people. And he is
throws it around.
I've seen him, his second efforts are harder than most forwards' first efforts.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. I think he's a brilliant little player to have. And I'm sure most other teams would be happy to have a hard mid-small forward.
Yeah. For me, I think you're trying to look at getting some consistency out of Aaron Hall. Obviously, he had a break through the start of the season.
Well,
I've
got him on the chopping block. So.
Well, he had a mental break, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they got 3 games out of him, perhaps.
Yeah.
So I think he can step it up. Think they were good games either.
Yeah, no, I don't think he did much. But obviously, coming across from Gold Coast, where he was a gun.
He was a gun sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, he'd go out and kick 6 goals 1 week and everyone goes, wow, he's finally reached there. And then he'd disappear for 3 weeks after that.
I mean, but even with that, he had highlights. Yeah. I can't think of a highlight in North Guernsey. I mean, granted, didn't have much to pull from.
No, exactly. Yeah. He didn't play many games. Would you say 3 or something like that?
I'm pretty sure it was around that.
Yeah.
He had a break after that, just to do with mental issues. But, I mean, that could be the reason why he wasn't playing well. And maybe some time off to deal with that could be exactly what he needed. Time will tell.
I've got a big question mark here when we've got who's going to have a big year next to Majak. Because everyone knows what happened last year. End of the day, didn't play a game. Came back in the VFL, was generally ramping up. And then did he do a hammy?
I think he had some tightness around it. And they were like, look,
you know what? Fuck this. It's round 23. Yeah. Fuck off. Let's worry about next year.
Yeah.
There's a big spot to fill in that back line now that Scotty Thompson isn't there. Majak's best footy was 2018 in the back line. There's an opportunity for him.
I don't see him as a shoulder-to-shoulder accountable player, which is unfortunate considering the fucking size of him.
But if you've got the ball, you know, sort of on the wing or a little bit forward, you've got to, you can't just bomb it to where Majak is. You've got to, going forward, you've got to think better about how you're going to use the ball, because otherwise it's just too easy. If he's going to play, you know, off his man like that. But the other thing is, too, if he's 20 metres off his man and there's a big 60-metre kick coming in, he'll catch him.
Yeah, well, one of the players they got was obviously Josh Walker, and he is ready-made to slot into that Scott Thompson slot coming from Brisbane, and he was quite good there for quite a lot of the season.
But he's older as well. I mean, he is just a bit of a fill-up. He's at his third club now.
Yeah.
Plays well against Hawthorn for some reason.
But the other players they're looking at filling that spot were Durden, who had a decent season without being spectacular. McKay, who I want a lot more from him.
He's a big lad. Give him a couple more years.
Yeah, I still want to see a lot more. And the other name that they've been throwing around is dropping back Mason Wood, which I'm pretty sure I mentioned last year and the year before that I'd like to see him in the back line because his body-to-body contests are really good. His contested mark's good. He reads the ball well. He just goes fucking missing in the forwards.
Well, we've got we've just named two of the three I've got on the chopping block list. So let's get into that then. Who's on the outer for North? And like I said, I've got Aaron Hall as one because never mind mental breaks and stuff like that. He was dropped from the league team and spent a lot of probably more of the season in the VFL than he did. I didn't like him as a pick coming across, and he hasn't done anything yet to justify his place. I don't think he's best 22. And you can get bored of a player very, very quickly when that kind of thing happens.
Well, no, I can agree with that. The other one I'd throw up there would be Paul Ahern.
Yep.
He's been brilliant in spots and then just nothing. And a lot of the criticism while he was under Scott was that his tackling isn't there. Under Shaw, that's even an even bigger requirement.
Yeah.
So unless he gets that hunger for the contest.
But you can transform a player too and say, you know what, okay, if your tackling's not there, you're a runner. We're going to turn you into a runner. Like, Polak's not a great tackler either, but he has a spot on the side because, you know, you go, all right, that's not your role. But you can't have everybody doing that role either.
No, and then I'll probably put Gardner up there too. He's threatened to do something since he started. And I think he's in his eighth season.
He's not a newbie anymore. Yeah.
No, and with so much talent coming through, like Larky came through, spent seasons of the VFL, won their goal kicking, and then definitely wasn't looking out of sorts in his 2019 season.
Put some pressure on your Guernsey, doesn't it?
Yeah, 2018 season he wasn't that great. Yeah. But, I mean, he's an easy lock before Garner right now. Yeah. And I think Garner, again, has good highlights, but then just does weird shit. And then decides he wants to be hard in a pub.
Yeah, well, there's certainly some red flags there, isn't there?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
I think he's talented, and I really want to see him do well, but if he doesn't...
In the pub, or...
Well, that too. Get on it,
he might have some talent. I've got one more name here, which, you know, we're getting into dangerous territory here again, but Benny Jacobs.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, not a doctor and haven't examined him at all, but when it's been 2 years, 3 years since you've been playing, and they still, you know...
I think it's 1.5.
They don't know what's quite right, and then they think it's sinus, and then they think it's concussion. Think of something else to do, mate, the rest of your life.
Well, the story is he's up and running now. And the last
the
I heard...
season.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't want to see him play.
Well, the last I heard, it wasn't concussion. It was a sinus infection that apparently had got into, like, his ear canals and fucked up his balance.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't fucking know. That's just what's going around. That could be complete bullshit. But
even if it's true, that's terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do something else,
buddy. Playing hand-eye coordination sports.
But the story's going around is that he's good now and he's going to be running again.
Let's see. But, you know, one big bump and you go, oh, shit. You know, think of something else.
Yeah.
For me, it was Dom Tyson. I wasn't really that impressed with him in Melbourne, to be honest. He's come across and done not much, got
third
dropped.
Club as well.
Yeah, got dropped and, just didn't really provide much.
I think he's a VFL player. Yeah.
Again, if he's in the VFL, I'm happy with that because it means you've got a near AFL quality midfielder who's at least been through the system a few times and can help players around him get better.
Conversely, I think if he's in your AFL side, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we're going to that depth, that means guys like Anderson, Simpkin, even Scott Walker, all the way down to Camden, should be playing before him.
All right, so ladder positions then. North, 12th and 10 wins last year. Josh, where have you got your boys this year?
I've got them an optimistic... pessimistic eighth. I reckon...
Pessimistic eighth.
Wow.
If ever there's been an optimistic way of saying it. Brenton?
I've got them as a drunken optimistic seventh somehow. I have no idea what I was thinking when I put them in there. They definitely weren't the last one to get plugged in because you do the top eight first.
Yeah.
And some logic in my head made sense to put them seventh. Do not know what it was.
I've got them treading water at 12th. I reckon they're just, they've got a lot of young players that are 2-3 years in that needs to be their next leaders.
Yeah.
I reckon they're just a season or two off it. And also, we haven't mentioned Higgins at all in this podcast. He is by far their best ball user, but he's all and playing his best footy right now.
Yeah.
But he's 32, 33?
This year he's just getting better, though.
This year he'll be 32, I think.
Yeah.
By 2030, he's going to be getting Brownlow.
I mean, he could be the next Sean Burgoyne. We don't know. But there needs to be more talent coming through that midfield that is taking the load off him and Cunnington. You know, and we haven't even mentioned Zeebel either.
Yeah.
You know, but those guys, I think Zeebel's turned into the right role now where he plays probably... I'm going to say 40% of his time up forward, if not 60.
Yeah.
I'd say he's probably more, he plays more midfield than a forward. And that was one of the things that Shaw did straight away.
Yeah.
Because I think Zeebel had a hard time leading.
Yeah. And a hard time playing 75% forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you've got another forward who's pretty good at that leading thing.
Yeah. But I mean leading the squad.
Yeah.
He couldn't inspire players. And a lot of his, leadership style is around, all right, I'll just run straight through fuckers.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Do as I say.
Yeah, and Cunnington does the same thing. Zaha does the same thing. If we've got 6 or 7 players on the field that'll just run in straight lines and belt the shit out of people, that's a team that worries other teams.
So I'm still 1 or 2 years off rating North into the finals contention and beyond that. All right, that'll do us.
All right, peace.
Good luck.